Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Your word is true. Your word is eternal. Your word has no errors, no contradictions, no mistakes. It is pure. And your word has been preserved and given to us that we might know you, the only God, that we might know the way of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that we might have hope in the future that one day we will be raised from the dead bodily and received into your kingdom. God, thank you. We give you praise. May we never forget it, never become apathetic or indifferent, and may we always cherish and share the story of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we look past in history, we can see that many nations over hundreds of years, probably thousands, have always tried to establish peace among themselves and among other nations. In a very short snippet of history, we learn or are reminded of the Camp David Peace Accord, the Paris Peace Accord, the Vietnam Peace Accord, the Oslo Peace Accord, the Dayton Peace Accord. And we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Because man is always trying to establish peace, but they always seem to have to do it again and again and again because it's rather elusive. Ever since Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden, man has tried to establish peace, a lasting peace among themselves. And this is the time of the year that we think of what? Peace, right? We sing of peace in our Christmas songs. Silent night, it came upon a midnight clear. I heard the bells on Christmas Eve. We talk about peace, we think about peace, we sing about peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It also talks about that. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And we also read in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke 2, 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. That was the voice and the message of the angels, wasn't it? So the Old Testament tells us peace. The New Testament tells us peace, and this peace comes through the Messiah. The peace comes through Jesus Christ, and that's what we talk about. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, why in the world, after 2,000 years, has there been no lasting peace? Was he mistaken? Was he not telling the truth? That somebody put that in there and they shouldn't have, and it should be scrubbed from the Bible? We should probably ask the question, what kind of peace did God have in mind? Because it's God's mind, not ours, that defines what peace is when he explains it and declares it in the Word of God, right? What kind of peace were the angels declaring over Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? The first coming of Christ, the first Christmas, came declaring he would be a God of peace. He talks about coming another time, one more time, the second coming, right? And when he comes, he also tells us that just prior, there will be in the world wars and rumors of wars, chaos, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in the midst of all of that chaos and turmoil and war and hatred and confusion, someone will arise known as the Antichrist who will be declaring to the world what? Peace. World peace. I will bring you peace. And at that time, the world will be looking for peace and trying and willing to give up anything to establish peace. Therefore, it is important for us to discern the signs and the times in which we live so that we do have true peace with the Prince of Peace. Now, if you go to your dictionary and figure out or try to find out what does peace mean, You will find that peace is pretty much defined as a state of external security and order provided by law, customs, religion, and absent of conflict and division. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So we got laws, we got religion, we've got customs to give us external peace and order. Great. Where do you find that for any given length of time? If you look to the Bible, because the Bible is talking about peace, not Webster's dictionary, if you go to the Bible in the Hebrew Old Testament, you find the word shalom. That means peace. It means or refers to wellness and salvation, not necessarily security. The New Testament Greek word for peace refers to harmony, unity, and well-being. So the Bible focuses on the internal and the eternal. Webster's dictionary focuses upon the external and the temporal. So the world's apart, aren't they? So if we take our logical mind and the dictionary and impose it upon the peace that God talks about in the Old and New Testament, we're going to be confused and it's going to be conflicted because it is not the same at all. God talks about a different kind of peace, not something that is external. The peace of Christ is truly a spiritual phenomenon. And Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, "The peace of Christ, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say, "And the peace of God, which will preserve your body and your home and your car and your job and your portfolio, all the other worldly, earthly things that you have." Doesn't say that at all. Doesn't refer to it at all. Says it will never keep anybody from breaking into your house or anything else. It all has to do with the internal, doesn't it? That's the kind of peace that is far more important and lasting than the external peace that we do strive for and, of course, need in this world. It's a spiritual phenomenon, a peace that is given, not achieved. And yet we always try to achieve all the peace accords. What are we trying to do? We're trying to work for it, establish it, and negotiate and compromise and everything else, and it never seems to last. God says, the peace that I'm talking about and that you need, I want to give it to you as a gift. You are not going to be able to achieve it or much less work for it. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So he didn't say, go to Jerusalem and go through all these religious rituals and guess what? Presto, you're at peace. No. Go to your enemies and sit down and negotiate over the table and you'll have peace. No, he says, I give you peace, and it's a peace that the world doesn't understand. It is a peace that the world cannot give you. And Isaiah, 600 years or so prior to the birth of Christ, he also talks about that peace, 9:7. We read it once, but notice what he says about that peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no, what's the last word? End. It's eternal. That peace is eternal. This world will come and go. There'll still be peace for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can live the rest of our life. We can experience that peace and will only continue in the next life. So it's eternal. Something we cannot achieve, work for, or maintain, but it is something that God gives us. And he indeed maintains it. It is a spiritual peace between you and God. Now don't think that just because it is called a spiritual peace, it's less real or important. Sometimes we think, oh, it's spiritual. Oh, well, yeah, that's way over there. I live in the real world, you know, where real things have to get done and the physical world is here. Don't give me this spiritual stuff unless I have time. No, the spiritual peace is more real than the real world we live in. It is far more important, and it is God that only gives it. And only when we have peace with God are we ever going to begin to experience peace in this world. So don't poo-poo it or anything else, because it's spiritual. Spiritual is just as real, if not more, than the physical world. And it's right here with us. That peace was available to every person 33 years after the first Christmas. When Jesus, who was then a mature adult, was beaten, nailed to a cross, poured out his blood for you and I, deserted by his disciples, that opened the doorway so that you and I could be at peace with God and hopefully through that peace, peace with one another. When do we receive that peace? How can we receive that peace? How can we know that peace? It's available when we recognize that we're sinners. We're born with that condition. It's a fatal one, eternally. When we recognize that Christ died for us and that we turn away from that sin and turn to Christ in repentance and receive him as our Savior by grace through faith, that's when we receive peace. That is when he comes to us and he gives you a real, genuine sense of mental, emotional, spiritual peace. Confidence that one day we don't have to worry about dying, but we will be ushered into his kingdom and we will have nothing to worry about from that point on. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that means we're right with God the Father, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, through Christ, nothing else we can do or have done. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, so on and so on and so on. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, and as we are justified, that we have peace with God. There is no other way, there is no other channel, there is no other avenue. It is through Jesus Christ and him alone and what he has done for us. That is the peace that the angels sang, announced over the skies of Bethlehem. Peace with God also bonds us together with other Christians. It bonds us into the mystical body of Jesus Christ. So Christians all around the country, all around the world, from the very beginning to the very end, we have a special spiritual bond, and that we are part of that family, not the family of those who reject Christ and hate him. The bond with each other through Jesus Christ is the only way that we can build bridges across generations, by gender, nationalities, and everything else that seems to divide and create conflict and problems between people. We strive and we work hard as people and governments and societies and organizations and everything else to bridge the gap of what divides us. You leave Christ out, it's only going to be a limited peace and unity. Because the problem of all bigotry and discrimination resides where? Sin, or sin nature. That's where it is. And who takes care of the sin nature? The Messiah who came on that first Christmas. Jesus removes those barriers so he makes it possible to live in peace with one another. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. God has done it all. He's the only one that can bring about reconciliation and peace with one another. Leave God out, not going to happen. And so it is our responsibility as God's people to share and to promote and to establish peace among other in all of our relationships. As much as it depends upon us, we are to live at peace with everyone. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what he says. So people, or peace with God, means peace in the midst of storms and difficulties as well. And indeed, we live in a world that is full of what? Difficulties, problems, chaos, disasters, fear, and on it goes. And then we wonder, what can we do? We can look to Christ who gives us peace, even in the midst of all of that trouble, all of that turmoil, and the fear of what tomorrow will bring. Indeed, the older I get, and many of you will agree, we realize this is not the place we want to spend eternity. I want to leave this world, not in a hurry, but I want to leave this world knowing that there is something far better. This is not our home as God's people. Heaven is, where every illness and every problem and every handicap and every sickness and every blemish will be wiped out forever, and we are perfect. That's the point of Christmas. Peace with Christ, will it ever be fulfilled globally? Will we ever have global peace? No. Not until Christ returns and recreates the heaven and the earth. We're going to continue to work for peace till the Lord returns, right? We'll have little pockets of peace. Lasting peace across the world? No. Will never happen until the Lord returns and reestablishes and recreates all that he has made and puts us who follow him in the middle of it. Military power cannot do it. Political power can't do it. Religious power can't do it. And no one person can do it. Who will do it? Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Count on it. Bank on it. This world is going to disappear, but we will not, because we are eternal. And God will take us to be with him. The word of God, the idea of peace fits so well with the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Let there be peace on earth is a peace that is supernatural, it is spiritual, and it is advanced by sharing God's true love. Let it begin with me. This peace is available to everyone, but it must be received as a gift by grace through faith. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. God's peace begins in your heart as a result of being forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. With God as our Father, brothers, all are we. Perhaps it would be better to say, with Christ as our Savior, brother and sister, all we are. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. That is a call for true Christians to live in love and harmony as Jesus prayed in John 17. Let there be peace on earth and goodwill to all men. It happens through faith in Christ, through a spiritual peace that is everlasting, that begins yet in this life. If you do not know Christ as your Savior and you do not know him as the Prince of Peace, your Christmas is diminished and you're not really celebrating the true meaning. Giving your life to Christ and inviting the Christ child into your life will move you out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of God, into his family. Being religious doesn't do it, but Jesus Christ does. Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you for providing faith to believe, to follow, and to serve. We ask, Lord, that you would help everyone here tonight to enjoy Christmas, to enjoy your birthday, and the greatest gift that you have given us all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.